My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
Are you ever going to put the cat in the hoodie?
I hooked up with a guy today, and I think he was recording me sucking his dick.
Okay, well, we said two completely different. Answer my question real quick, and then I will do your thing. Are you going to put the cat in the hoodie or not?
She's sleeping. She's always sleeping, and I'm not going to wake my cat up to appease yahoos. That's not my problem.
Yeah, especially after we saw her whoop that ass on the YouTube page. We know who's running that house. Saw her fucking whoop
the
that.
The slow-mo
that
of that.
Floyd Mayweather. She put the fucking...
The slow-mo was so funny.
Floyd Mayweather on your ass.
Because you can literally see her go... Girl. Rude.
Wait, so, okay, why do you think he was recording me?
I'm sucking his fucking dick, and he keeps on holding the phone up, and he's acting like he's texting, and I'm like... I don't do videos. And he was like, no. Okay. Well, before we'd even started, he's like, hey, can I record you? And I was like, no, you can't record me. And then he was like, all right. He was like, I mean, I can use your phone. And I was like, no, I don't, I'm not into any type of, not on my phone, your phone, not on the hotline bling.
Then he would airdrop that shit.
Right. So then I was like, no. So then as I'm doing the do, you know, getting up.
That double-handed twist, glurp.
Bitch, I did a fucking triple axel on that dick. As I was doing the do, he's like holding
Denali.
His phone.
Oh shit.
He's like holding his phone up like he's texting, and I'm like, are you recording? He's like, no. And then like he showed me the screen, but don't Androids have a feature that you can record a video but not have the screen be showing the video? Like you can be recording like in the background.
Let me see.
I feel like that's the thing. I feel like I've heard that with Androids.
All right. So right now I'm not recording.
Oh my God. Tell me it was fucking.
No, mine stopped recording.
Okay. No, well, maybe he wasn't. Stopped. Well, maybe he wasn't. But I don't know.
It is possible to do.
I think that's the thing. Like, it's something you can do on phones. And I feel like he was recording. That nigga was recording me acting like he wasn't. But needless
also,
to say, the dick
was
great.
Don't text while I'm sucking your dick unless. I'm like, also, don't text while I'm blowing you unless that's part of the thing. I've had situations where it's like, I'll play a video game while you do this, or we'll all ignore the.
Yeah, that's kind of hot.
That someone's giving the blowjob. But also, let's plan on that. what was so great about this penis?
It was a nice dick. It was a nice uncut fucking dick. It was great.
What was so great about it?
It was thick. It wasn't huge. It was, I would say, like a realistic, like, you know, because everybody on Grindr is 8 inches. Everybody on Grindr is 9, 10 inches, which literally is like not even like fucking probably 2% of the people. But it was like a realistic, like a nice like 7.5 inch thick penis. It was great. And he was cute.
I mean, according to statistics, it's less than 2% of the population, of the penis-having population. But also, another great thing about his dick that it came with a recording contract, apparently. It was a movie star.
I was like, bitch, I guess I'm fucking SAG now. I'm SAG. I'm the SAG of sucking dick, girl.
So is your sex tape going to leak soon?
No, I mean, I hope not. That's not something that I want for my life. Also, I was on TikTok the other day, and this female to male trans guy. You probably saw it because it was on my For You page. This trans guy, it was like, tell me you have a big dick without telling me you have a big dick, or tell me you're packing without telling me that you're packing. And it's this female to male trans guy. He stands up and he like puts the camera down, and it's like a big ass, like fucking like 8 inch thick, like 10 inch long penis. And I'm like, whoa. And then I went to the comments, and all the comments, he was like, yeah, when I got the surgery, I opted for the big one, when I didn't even know that you could get penises that big when you get bottom surgery for trans men. I was like, I was staring at my phone like, whoa.
It's called a phalloplasty.
Phalloplasty. There we go. And it was a big ass dick.
And And it's and if you have a if you're getting a vagina, it's called a vagioplasty. That is
this is gonna be a symbol when you're talking. I'm gonna do this, meaning I have to tell you something and remind me if in case
I'm not
I forget
one of the kids. I'm not one of the kids that you taught at school. I'll go. Then you, Mary had a. No, I'm not one of your kids at school with symbols.
My God.
Vinci, you'll talk when it's your turn. We'll figure it out. Sometimes we'll stumble, but we're not in Miss Harrell's kindergarten class.
Did you watch The Magic School Bus as a kid? Did you like that show with Miss Frizzle?
I did like it, yeah. Come on, The Magic School Bus. You didn't know that. I'm shocked that you didn't know about phalloplasties or phalloplasties.
No, I know that they get done. I did not know that you could opt for this huge, massive penis. I'm gonna send it to you. And you're gonna be like, oh, whoa! It's like it's a very, very, very big penis.
I mean, some people, you know, a lot of people who get phalloplasties or phalloplasties. You get one with it, but that also doesn't mean that you don't. Some people get them, but also still have vaginas too, as well, because it just covers the whole thing. Yeah. So you don't have to get rid of one to have the other.
Got it. Okay, got it. Oh, this is what I want to say. So are you aware of this like little bit of controversy? And this kind of ties into our topic, and we're a little early, I know. With our topic today, which we'll dive into more later, but have you, people giving Got Mick fever for Got Mick's merch that they release?
Okay, so I heard about this. I was talking to Two-Face last night, just randomly talking to Two-Face on the phone. Mm-hmm. And Two-Face was saying that there were some trans men who were upset about Got Mick putting his top surgery scars on a shirt, which I'm like, how is that any of anyone's business?
Well, what I saw was Kareem McJagger posted it on his Facebook, and a lot of trans folk commented.
Kareem McJagger is a New York City-based drag performer, just so everyone's wondering.
And Kareem basically posted, he was like, hey, I want to purchase this shirt to support Got Mick. I think it's really great, but before I purchase it, I want to know, would I be canceled / is it problematic for me to purchase and wear it? And then some trans men chimed in. They were like, yes, this is ridiculous. I can't believe she's monetizing, blah, 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 blah. Then Azrea commented, and Azrea was like, this is the fucking problem. Y'all, like, what the fuck? This is so stupid. I can't believe that you're monetizing your trans experience, yada, 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 yada. And a few things. Number one.
Wait, why can you not monetize your trans? Why can't you monetize your trans experience?
And okay, let me be very clear. Those aren't her Azrea's exact words, but those were the sentiments. And Azrea broke it when you know Azrea is very articulate, and Azrea speaks so well. So Azrea,
I'm sure I can said, look and find the moment.
Yeah. So Azrea broke it down and explained it way better.
The Dakota page or the Azrea page?
Dakota. I don't think their Azrea page exists anymore.
Okay, it says, Dakota wrote, they wrote, absolutely not. Y'all need to understand that this one person is monetizing the scars of all. If it was an image of them that included both their face and their scars, then it would be 100%, it would 100% be a different story. But the anonymity is what removes the right to give cis folks carte blanche to wear trans bodies as a fashion / political statement. Please, Jesus, do yourself a favor and do not wear this, because there are a lot of trans folks like me who would just start swinging on sight if we saw you with it on. Okay, that's, first of all, just violent. Let's just say that is abhorrently violent and, again, illegal and against the law. Like y'all are not there. When trans folks have the same life expectancy as cis folks, then come talk to me. When trans folks' surgeries aren't almost entirely funded through GoFundMe, then come talk to me. This shit has me fucking heated in all caps. I know as it was just so out of character for me to go nuclear at the slightest provocation. With a lot of N's, more N's than the Chicago. And then Dakota, they wrote, Kareem McJagger, like, do not get me wrong. The irony is not lost on me. I straight up bought this infamous tits t-shirt from Trash and Vaudeville for my partners for this past Christmas. I know the history of it, but this is just so white men speaking for a whole community they have no right to speak for, and that's such an issue with white trans men for the trans community, I guess. So I think they're saying, like, white trans men are... Okay. I
have so many thoughts and opinions.
That's... Okay, you want to go first?
Well, yeah, I think that A, it's a double standard. A,
Okay, wait. Also, we also need to realize that there are problems and flaws. We don't know who maybe we do have listeners who don't watch Drag Race. So just so you all know, Gottmik is a trans man and a contestant
the first
on
trans man,
Drag Race.
The first trans man on Drag Race ever that we know of.
And as a
that we're aware of.
That we're aware of. The first openly trans man on RuPaul's Drag Race to be competing. And has scars. When you have top surgery, they basically it's a mastectomy.
Yeah.
A double mastectomy. They take your fatty breast tissue out, and then there's two scars underneath, one scar underneath each pec, and it kind of goes from the middle and then up a little bit in toward the armpits. If you're looking at the video, you can see. And if you want to see the video, you can go to our YouTube page or our Patreon.
Which side note, a little side note, when I was like going, because in like middle school, like sixth, seventh grade, my grandmother took me to the doctor. She was like, "We need to take your fat ass to the doctor because it's not healthy, and we need to get you together." And then, so my grandmother took me to like a nutritionist and stuff. And the doctor told me that I had gynecomastia, and it was like, "We can operate, and we can give you like basically a fucking double mastectomy." Because when I was like a fat kid, bitch, I throw some D's on that bitch. Okay, I had titties, honey. I was one of them girls in gym class, like, woohoo.
It's actually pretty common for assigned male at birth men to have fatty breast tissue.
Yeah.
From gaining weight, and then if you lose weight, it tends to just kind of hang around. Like, it seems like a lot of the fat will melt away, but in the pec or in the breast area, the fat just stays.
Yeah.
And then people end up, and it causes a lot of people stress and strife. But
I don't care about it anymore. Let's
go back to this. So Mick is, and Mick has the scars, the top surgery scars, and it has printed on a t-shirt. It's literally just a t-shirt of Gottmik's chest.
From like the bottom of the neck down to like right under the
collarbone to the top of the ribs, maybe.
Which is a recreation of a
mid ribs.
It's a recreation of a Vivian Westwood shirt. Vivian Westwood iconically did that years ago. The same thing, white shirt, the little gold signature on the side, and it was of a woman's breast.
Oh, it's a reference, is it?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is, I feel like monetizing your transness is okay. It's okay for people to take their transness and monetize it through OnlyFans, to monetize it through social media, be it about whether it's for sex, whether it's for using your transness as your calling card. It's your experience.
Right.
And I feel like you can do what you want with your body. It's your body. I think Gottmik had taken a picture of a trans man without their permission,
right,
and posted it on a shirt, that would be extremely inappropriate, in my opinion.
And then also the double standard of it all, because like just like Vivian Westwood had that woman's tits on the shirt, and it was like everyone was like, work. Like, let's say Peppermint did the same thing. A, I don't think this would be the same topic of conversation. Everyone would be like, Pep, you better work. This shirt is so fierce, Lager. You look so good. And rightfully so. So why aren't we giving Gottmik that same energy and that same like taking power of their transness and their experience and their transition and empowering him to be like, yeah, bitch, I fucking did that. This is a fierce shirt, and the scars that I used to hide and I was so scared of and I felt bad about, I have my scars on a shirt, and all my fans, people that love me, people support me, are wearing it proudly and as like, you know, as a virtue for me.
Yeah. In solidarity. I mean, I think that, I mean, maybe we should have Dakota on the show and they can express their opinions.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Because we're just reading them off of a Facebook post.
Yeah.
So we don't know what their full opinions are. They might be more nuanced, and they also acknowledge they were heated in all caps in the moment. But I mean, it just seems like I don't see the issue. I also see lots of trans women monetizing their breasts.
Yeah,
and I don't see why trans men shouldn't be allowed to monetize their top surgery. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Top surgery either way. I think that trans people have been monetizing their bodies for a long time. Sometimes it is for survival. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is for entertainment. But also, for whatever reason they're choosing to monetize their bodies is, quite frankly, none of my business.
It's their fucking business, right?
And not only that, but it's that, and I don't know that that is exclusively trans. People have been monetizing their bodies in general for a very long time, monetizing their faces, their pussies, their dicks, their chests, their ethnicity. I think if you're monetizing your own thing, you should have the right to do what you want with your body, post it on a t-shirt, and whoever wants to buy it can buy it. That's my opinion. But maybe Dakota has a more nuanced take that might actually change my mind.
And that nigga earlier was trying to monetize my fucking experience, and I'm not okay with it. And if I see that motherfucking video, I'm gonna fucking flip a shit on this nigga.
Monet, what if this is your fucking Kim Kardashian moment? What if this is like your sex tape leaps, and then you blow up to like new heights?
No, I don't want that. I don't want that experience. That's not what I don't.
You
I don't
already care. Have the ass, girl. You already have the ass.
Go see, but my ass wasn't even on display, which is one of my proudest features. It was my mouth. I guess my mouth was like number two. Well, not my mouth is number one. Whatever. They're kind of like tie, but I would have liked to give the ass
experience. The top of your bald head was the bulk of the experience.
How you know I have a wig on? You don't know my life.
I'm assuming because you're already out of the zhuzh and the giggery. Maybe you did. Did you? I feel like and in my experience, the girls who get dressed up for trade tend to do it in their homes. They don't go outside their homes to slob on the knobs. And it's usually an evening venture. But that's just me assuming. That's based off experience that I've had with my friends.
Okay, listen, y'all make some bets down in the comments below. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back. Now, after a long night of cooking, Trade didn't like the lasagna after I stood all day in the kitchen and made that mess for him. So I had to kick him out. But no, really, after a long session of cooking or something strenuous, my muscles be killing me, girl. And that's why having a little bit of CBD really helps the pain and soreness from all those long days standing in the kitchen. Because y'all know she's a chef now. Yes, I'm a chef. That's why I love Caliper. Everyone deserves a simple way to feel better, and they provide just that. Unlike CBD oils, Caliper CBD powder is completely tasteless and mixes easily in any food or drink. No weird taste, no oily residue, no weird mouthfeel. It's none, zip, zero, zilch. Each packet of Caliper has precisely 20 milligrams of CBD in it, so you always know exactly how much you're getting. Caliper is a CBD product that's clinically proven to be superior to standard CBD oils. It's clinically proven that you absorb 450% more CBD with Caliper CBD powder compared to those tinctures. Caliper gives you all the benefits of CBD in just 15 minutes, about twice as fast as CBD oils. Caliper CBD comes in affordable 10 and 30 count packs, and that is convenient. Individual packets give you the benefits of CBD wherever you go. Easy traveling packets help you relieve stress, release pain and soreness, and make you sleep easier wherever you find you less resting your head at night. Unlike some products out there, Caliper is completely THC-free. All the goodness of CBD with no high. Again, all the goodness of CBD with absolutely no high. All natural, non-GMO ingredients, no fillers, no added chemicals, or no artificial flavors. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code RIVALRY at trycaliper.com/rivalry. You can try Caliper CBD risk-free for 30 days, and if you don't like it, if you don't love it, if you don't want it, they'll give you a full refund. That's trycaliper.com/rivalry. Don't forget, promo code RIVALRY for 20% off your first order. Girl, everything is getting smarter. I have my air conditioner wirelessly connected to my fridge, connected to my doorbell, connected to my phone. This too much. If you're a cat owner like me, I have news that will rock your world, knock your socks off. Litter is smarter too, thanks to the world's smartest cat litter, Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter is the most advanced litter I've ever seen. It changes colors to help detect early signs of potential illnesses, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. Cats are notorious for hiding illness, and it's important to catch health issues as soon as possible. Litter box cleanup is easier with Pretty Litter too. Its ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly and last up to a month. Plus, Pretty Litter is safer for your cat and for the whole household. Many conventional litters contain irritants that can aggravate allergies and asthma, but Pretty Litter, honey, they're super lightweight crystals, girl. They are incredible. They minimize mess and dust. Less dust, no fuss. My favorite catchphrase. And Pretty Litter arrives safely at my door in a small, lightweight bag. Shipping is free, and I never have to worry about storing bulky containers or lugging a heavy bag through a blizzard and up 5 flights of steps, okay? Your cat deserves the best. Your cat deserves the world's smartest kitty litter. Do what I did and make the switch to Pretty Litter today by visiting prettylitter.com and use promo code RIVALRY for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com, promo code RIVALRY for 20% off. prettylitter.com, promo code RIVALRY.
Let me say one thing. If you're going to be sucking dick too, arch the ass up. Like, arch it so they can see it from over the shoulder.
I'm not Bob coaching.
Don't be lazy.
You know, suck dick.
Why was your ass not in the, shot? Wow. Actually, he was probably on watching, what's that show?
What?
The show Bridgerton. He probably got bored, started watching Bridgerton.
Bored? Excuse arch that back. Me. I'm offended.
Because you didn't arch that back. He was like, I want to watch Bridgerton. My word, Lady Bridgerton.
Well, you know what? He was filming on a fucking Android, so I was like, this shit in fucking 480p, he can't capture this in all its glory anyway. So that's what you get.
They won't know if it's you, me, or Titus Burgess.
Or Lala Ree, or Simone. They're like, damn, Simone put on some weight, girl.
I was like, Simone's a little slim. They'd be like, oh. Simone is so slim. Simone, Mick, and Utica, they are some slim
tiny
queens.
And I was watching Simone. Simone with her little dimples. She is so cute. And her little ball earrings. So cute.
Do you remember when I had my little kick when I would wear my little studs in my ears?
You used to have little... Did you have little studs? I don't remember that.
I used to wear... Because I've worn hoops for a while, but I was wearing the little cheap studs, like the little diamond-looking
Oh, yes. I hated when you did that. You look like some raggedy bitch from the early 2000s. I hated those little earrings.
It was a kiki. You were jealous. Let's talk about our... This actually is a great segue into our thing. Let's talk about wokeness. Wakanda forever.
Wokeness, girl. Wokeness, honestly... It's such a tricky topic because I feel like in where we are currently, in like the past 3 years or 2 years, I want to say, I've noticed a lot. I think that people use virtue signaling and disguise it in wokeness. And I'm like, you're not being woke. You're trying to virtue signal, bitch. And I see what you're doing and stop.
Well, okay. I want to talk about virtue signaling because I don't think that virtue signaling is necessarily a bad thing. Let's look up the official definition, the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. So for example, there'll be moments where Joe Biden will come on camera and take off his mask at the top of the video. Like he'll be by himself in a gymnasium and he has the mask on and then he takes it off and that is virtue signaling. Look, I wear a mask. And I don't think virtue signaling is necessarily a bad thing. It is a reminder, oh, that's right. Our president wears a mask. We could be wearing masks too. You know, there were Black Lives Matter movements in all over the world. Some of them people reporting that I haven't seen a black person in years, but we're letting everyone in this town know that Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And that is a moment of virtue signaling and solidarity. So I don't think that virtue signaling is necessarily a bad thing. It can be quite helpful.
I agree, but I think that a lot of times the wokeness I'm seeing on social media falls more in line with the first part of the definition that you read, which was when it's intended to demonstrate one's good character. They're like, I'm gonna show this thing to show everyone that I am a good person, and I am speaking on this to show everyone that I'm good, I'm fierce, that I'm woke, I know what's
up.
I think
that if that is your true character, it's okay to demonstrate that. Like for example, it's like when you see a rainbow sticker on a restaurant, or you see a Black Lives Matter symbol in a window. They're telling you there is a virtue signal saying we are cool. If you are queer, you can come to this establishment. Look, we have a rainbow sticker. Now, if you get in there, you find out that they're actually not cool, that they're anti-trans, anti-queer, or you get in there, you find out that they have racist policies. I could see that being incredibly upsetting. But if the virtue signaling is showing something that actually is true to their character, I think it can be nice. Like, for example, someone says, why do they want to see all these people in the pride parade? Because I would like the notion that if I see a bank that I
bank at
in the pride parade, they are not giving to anti-gay legislation, which doesn't mean they're not, by the way.
Right.
But it is a signal that says they might be on the right side of history.
But I think a lot of times with wokeness, there's oftentimes a lot of conjecture and like misinformation, and they're saying shit and they're like regurgitating things that they don't even understand, but they're saying it so that people say, Jacob like tweeted that thing, and he said that and he said that got mixed t-shirt was bad.
Jacob said.
And Jacob said that God makes t-shirt is bad. So that means that he is like pro-trans, blah, 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 without even trying to think about or understand the nuance of it and spread proper information instead of just jumping on a bandwagon so that everyone thinks that you are this good person when you're not. You're just saying it so that you look like you're on the right side, but you don't really care. And you're not spreading proper information about it. That's my issue.
Well, that's where we need to have a big discussion about what is a good person, what is a bad. I don't personally believe there are good people and bad people. I think we are all people who do good and bad things.
Well, that's a very esoteric. I mean? Like, now we're getting bigger and bigger. Now Baba's like, and you know what? And the world, for that matter, is just a ball of gas. We break it down. We're gonna keep going that road.
That is my thought. Like, saying that we're all good people is a notion that may or may not be true. Like, we're good and we're bad. It's all subject to opinion, whether or not someone's good or if someone's bad. It's not like being, you know, black or white, or it's not like being, you know, having arms or not having arms, which are matters of fact. It is a matter of opinion whether or not someone's good. So anyway, so my whole thing is like, I know lots of people are against virtue signaling. I'm not against it. I would like a signal so that I should know if I need to feel on guard around you.
And I would even like if that, for people even to if, do it. Even if those virtues aren't coming from a good place. Like, for example, like
what does coming from a good place mean?
Okay, for example, during the height of the Black Lives Matter movement back in June, a lot of companies were found to be posting those little black squares on their Instagrams, on their Twitters, whatever, to show that, yeah, we support the movement, but come to find out that they're donating to conservative politicians that don't have the best interests of Black Lives Matter in mind. So, yeah, they put the little black square virtue signaling that, yeah, we support Black Lives Matter, but you don't really, because you're contributing to fucking Ted Cruz, who can give a fuck about Black Lives. Like, fuck those Negroes, literally. Well, he didn't literally say that. He did not literally say that. I'm just, you know, I'm being, you know, ridiculous.
So, I mean, I think that if someone is out there putting out fake information, pretending like they are allies when they're not allies, I think that it's upsetting and it is bad. But if someone is an ally and they are virtue signaling, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why you and I have those Doc Martens that have those rainbow flags on it. That's why by Ben and Jerry's, because Ben and Jerry are huge supporters of the LGBTQ movement. They were for gay
and
marriage.
And Black Lives Matter.
And Black Lives Matter.
You know, Ben and Jerry was out there marching.
Oh, yeah, girl, I saw Ben and Jerry
out there marching.
Girl, both of them look like two rich-ass, raggedy old Bernie Sanders-looking niggas, girl. They look, I was like, all right, Ben, all right, Jerry, y'all sing.
They were like motherfucking Cherry Jubilee, or was it Cherry Sanchez? What's their
Cherry Garcia.
Oh, that Cherry Garcia was popping off at the Black Lives Matter movement. Cherry Garcia like, "Nuck if you buck." What's the one we love? Chunky Monkey. Chunky Monkey was like, "Throw some bananas, nigga."
K- Can I tell
Black
you?
Black Lives Matter.
So when Bob was still in New York City, him and Jacob would get, every couple of months, Bob would step into this new realm of ridiculousness. So at one point I was like doing well, like trying to eat healthy, blah, blah, blah. I go to Bob's house and like for like 3 nights in a row when I was there, him and Jacob were like, "Ooh, we're going to order ice cream for the ice cream shop." So now him and Jacob are ordering like drums and pints of fucking ice cream from the ice cream shop. And I have
drums.
Yes.
Drums.
Yes. And I am very weak when it comes to food, okay? Food makes me literally happy. Of course, I would just fucking give in. I'd be like, yeah, girl, get me a chocolate fudge brownie overload. And here I'm eating a whole fucking pint of ice cream at Bob's house.
No, we'd be like, Monet, we're going to order a pint. Do you want one? Monet's like, no. I'm like, Monet, okay, well, we're going to order it. Okay, well, since you're doing it, go ahead and get me a gallon of vanilla, 3 brownies, 18 cakes. That's like being like, we're going to smoke a little weed. You want some? Nah. But you know what? Go ahead and get me an 8-ball of crack. Go ahead and get me some black tar heroin. Lay my shit right. That was Nick. So we have a friend named Nick. If y'all don't know, Nick is the one who kind of talks like this. And Nick is one of those folks who can't gain weight. His metabolism is high, and he's incredibly slim. Like everyone's like, oh my God, you're very slim. Which, by the way, we're not shaming slim people. I'm not anyway.
I wish I was Nick. I wish.
Nick is very slim, can eat anything he wants at any point in time, and will not get like fat. It's amazing. So Nick always eats ice cream. So Nick introduced me to Chubby Hubby, which when I say slaps, when I say Chubby Hubby slaps, when I say they don't make ice cream like Chubby Hubby.
They don't make that cream like they used to. They don't make that cream.
Okay. Not one of our infamous tangents.
Yeah.
But that's what I feel like inherently wokeness in and of itself is not bad. I think it's fine. I think being woke is a good thing. Overall, being woke is a good thing.
Well, it now has become like this, like obviously this buzzword. Like people will like say it in interviews and stuff. Not to even throw any, I'm not going to say no specific names, but Drag Race girls who have done interviews who have gone on to say problematic things, but in interviews using words like woke and black trans women.
Monet, how are we going to sell shirts that say their names if you're not going to say their name? Their names, Monet.
No.
What are you talking about, mama?
No, I don't want to start any drama. I just want to start any drama. Not today. I'll say their names. Maybe I'll say it on Patreon only. But and they say things like woke, and they say things like they'll throw words like protect black trans women because they know that those are buzzwords right now. And when you say that, people are immediately going to jump on your team. But like, yeah, but she said that in the interview. So there are girls who do that, but then they go and do things on social media that aren't in line with that.
Are you woke?
I don't like using that word to describe. I'm Monet. Like sometimes I guess I'm as
what in the Raven Simone? I'm an African American. I'm Raven Simone. I'm not black. I'm OJ. Okay.
You know, like I sometimes I do things that are woke. Sometimes I do things that aren't. And like you know, I don't want to use that word to describe myself. I think that we should find another word for woke, but I guess you just substitute any word. But then
it would just start all over again. Because right. I remember when being woke was the thing. And then if you just make the new thing being woke, I mean, maybe it's like being a little, being like alert. You know what I mean? Because like, bitch, you got to go to sleep at some point.
Right. You know what? Exactly. You have to fall asleep at some point. Everybody cannot be up to, no one can be up 24. Well, some people can't be up for 24 hours a day, but eventually you will crash and say something that's not woke.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I think being super woke, at some point you will crash in the end. Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, for example, I think the things that I do that aren't woke, I don't personally believe in policing people's language. I believe that people, I genuinely do believe that people have the right to say what they want to say. I just feel like you have to deal with the consequences. Like there's something about people who want to say what they want to say, but then for some reason, they don't think anyone should be able to say anything about it. And I was like, but aren't you the advocate for saying what you want to say? So if you are like, for example, Mateo Lane did this podcast and it's these guys who just say really offensive things. Like their whole thing is just being offensive. And like, there are these like white guys and one like half Puerto Rican guy, and they like say the N-word and they say the T-slur and faggots and all this stuff. And they're like, but we say it because like it gets people riled up. And I'm like, okay, but like, what's the, if your whole point is just to rile people up,
yeah,
and that's what gets you off. I mean, I personally think you're playing to the lowest common denominator, but I also feel like if people call you out for that, that is also just saying what you want to say. So you yeah. have to get in line with everyone else doing the same thing you're doing, which is saying what we want to say, which is that your content is trash.
T, I agree with that. Wait, and so, I don't want to think, but Mateo was on this podcast and he gagged when all this happened. He was like, oh, what's going on here? Or he went in new knowing.
So he was on the podcast and they started saying offensive things about trans people using the T-slur on the podcast. And Mateo was like, this isn't funny.
Work.
And I want to leave.
I love Mateo.
Because this isn't funny.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, come on. And he was like, guys, I'm serious. I'm not joking. This is not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you keep doing it, I'm just going to go.
Yeah. Love that. Well, you know, and Bob, a lot of fans kind of question your wokeness when you say that all white people are racist. And they're like, and I'm sure you get.
Hey,
I see it on Twitter sometimes and whatever. And people are saying, Bob, I'm not racist. And I think that it's problematic that you're saying that. So that's kind of like a little sparring moment with your wokeness that people are having. Well, white folk, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I guess it is. White folks be sensitive when you call them out, girl. I mean, so I get messages probably down at this point, maybe at least 2 or 3 a week of someone messaging me being like, I am not racist. I will have you know. I'll have you know that what I did is I actually took time out of my day to find this black person online and write them a letter about how nasty they are to prove how not racist I am. And I'm like, honestly, like, I'll tell you one thing. You're certainly not anti-racist, but you could use this energy and this time fighting racism, but instead, whatever. Someone wrote, Bob, I'm a huge fan of yours. I really wish you would be less hateful toward white people. This, I don't know why that's so funny to me. This really just is so great. I really wish you'd be less hateful toward white people. There are a lot of white people who are not racist, and you know this. Why do you want to make white people uncomfortable? Why do you want to make white people uncomfortable? All white people are racist. Instead, you should say like making white. You should say you like making white racists uncomfortable, not white people. And I'm like, I think that maybe if you're taking time out of your day to write me a letter like that, you should do some introspection and see what's going on with you that you don't want to address the demons that live inside. And I say this to people too. All non-trans people, and I don't think it's just non-trans people, are inherently transphobic. Everything in our society has taught us a lot of things to teach us to be transphobic. I really suggest you all go and watch the movie Disclosure. Because then I didn't look at the transphobia.
It's on Netflix, by the way.
Until I went back and by the way, I'm so mad that Peppermint was not in it. Like, I'm hot. How on earth?
Because anyway, Peppermint was too busy joining Biden's presidential fucking Secretary of State.
Exactly. She's the Secretary of Transportation at this point, probably. But I thought back to watching Ace Ventura. And there was this pet detective, and there was a scene where the main villain of the show was trans. And then they exposed that she was trans. And then everyone in the movie starts vomiting. And I remember watching it as a kid.
And laughing.
And being like, work, this is funny. This is funny. And that was still in me. That was still in me. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So what I'm telling you right now, if you are listening to this podcast, if you are on the street and you see a group of 6'5" black guys wearing do-rags walking toward you, if you cross the street because you're afraid they're going to attack you, and let me make this very, very clear, even if you were right, that's still racist. If you are driving down the street and you see someone driving poorly and you go, I bet they're Asian, and then you pull up and check and they are Asian, even if you were right,
right,
that's still racist. That's fucking racist.
If you watch,
because you judge them based on their skin color.
Yeah, if you watch episode 4 of season 10 and you thought that Monet Exchange deserved to be in the bottom, and even if you were right, nigga, you racist. Period.
So instead of trying to just absolve your, if your focus is absolving yourself of wrongdoing as opposed to absolving the world of wrongdoing, in my opinion, your intentions are off. Now, I've had lots of people write me and be like, I cannot support you anymore in solidarity with white people. Because apparently they really need to be defended against the likes of this nigger drag queen. I will unsubscribe to your page so this big nigger bitch cannot besmirch the name of whiteness.
Can you please change your drag name to Bob the Nigger Bitch? I fucking not.
Can I tell you how proud I was the first time I heard Todrick put nigga in a song? I could have shed a tear.
Because he didn't want to put it in there.
Tear. I mean, because it was in the song B. The line is "Pussy most niggas would die for," and I was like, "Oh my god, my heart." Todrick said "nigga" on a on the track. It really meant so much to me. It meant a lot to me when Beyonce said it. When Beyonce put "nigga" in a song, I was like, "This."
Did she not put it? Was she not putting it in her music?
I don't think until Lemonade or Beyonce. Maybe it was Beyonce, but Destiny's Child didn't have no niggas in it. For sure. Crazy in Love didn't have no niggas in it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I
think niggas first started showing up in Beyonce's music around Beyonce or Yonce.
Here's the question for you. A lot of actions that we do tie back to problematic things, like buying from Amazon, both of us performing in Israel, whatever. So if we do those things, does that cancel out our wokeness? Especially if we... I mean, and Amazon is like a big one, right? Because literally, I don't know anyone in the world who does not shop on Amazon. Literally, and to be fair, they have made it so easy. You have a gig tomorrow and you need a prop, a black candle. Bitch, Amazon, I can have it tomorrow by 6 p.m. So it's hard to like break stuff like that.
I don't know if you remember, the original Amazon was Walmart. And
there was a Walmart in New York
years ago called Have a Nice... Oh, well, we had two Walmarts in my hometown. But the original Amazon was Walmart. There was a documentary years ago called Have a Nice Day, I believe. Can you double check that, Jacob? It was a documentary about Walmart and how Walmart decimates economies. Like how a Walmart will come into a town and just decimate an economy. Like people, like mom and pop shops be closed on left and right.
Right.
Because again, if there's one place where you can get your, you can go to one place and you can get your tires rotated, get your eyes checked, get your oil changed, buy a shotgun, a goldfish, a parrot, a futon, a turkey, Similac.
Yep.
Then it's hard to go anywhere else and get a full tank of gas. Like all in one fucking building.
Super center.
It is very enticing. It is very, very enticing. And I don't know. Have you ever heard the term net positive? Like, are you a net positive to the world? Meaning, like, does your good cancel out your bad and you become a good person? That's the term. Like, you're
never a net positive to the world. I've never heard of that ever. That sounds so crazy to me.
So the idea is to try and do more good things than bad things. And therefore, you are a net positive.
But if you like, if you go throughout your whole day, like do it, like how do you equalize that? Like, for example, you taking your Uber to the gym or driving your car to the gym is quote unquote, is bad. You're polluting the air. It's bad for the ozone, whatever. So like, how do you even quantify all of that?
Or is taking the Uber more friendly to the ozone than driving yourself? Because you're driving, I mean, I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
But it's still bad. Using the car is...
Yeah, it's called Walmart, the high cost of a low price.
It's called Walmart, the high cost of a low price is the name of the Walmart documentary.
But just using a car, I'm saying, is bad. So, you know, like how do you, I think it's unquantifiable to be net, like average out your good and your bad and net positive and net negative. Like, I don't think that's possible. I think that's some fucking woke shit. That's
like,
I'm woke because I'm net positive, because at the end of the day, I did drive to the gym, but but I walked back home. So that cancels out the ride there. And like, no, like it's impossible.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with striving to be a net positive as opposed to a net negative, because you're just trying to make sure you do more good things than bad things. There are times in my life where I have to, and a lot of it is essentially centered around opinion. Like some of it is like fact, like, yeah, your carbon footprint will be smaller if you ride a bike than if you drive a car. But then it's also things like virtue signaling and opinions about who you vote for. Those are all opinions. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And I think as long as you are what you would consider a net positive, then you're doing a good job. And just try to do more good. And for me, I can honestly say that there are times in my life where I have to actively not do, say, mean things. And I have to like be like, you know what? Calm down. It's okay. Chill out. Don't do the negative thing that you want to do.
Yeah. I feel that. Wait. Oh my God. Today's Monday. Did you go get your license?
No. Girl, okay. Quick sidebar. The debacle I'm going through to get my driver's license is sending me. Me and Jacob almost fought. I didn't tell Jacob this yet. Me and Jacob almost fought. Like, I was so mad.
Ooh, we're getting a little hot take, guys. Let me describe. Bob is reaching to Jacob and extending and saying, I love you so much. And Jacob just gave him the only side eye and like a kind of like side smirk. Like, yeah, bitch, you tried it. Just so y'all know.
So what happened was I had my Georgia driver's license in a safe deposit box. Like a little lockbox in the basement,
which is expired.
That's why I kept my driver's license, which is expired. Yeah, but I've always kept it because I was making a funny face in it.
Got it.
I was making this funny face in the picture, and I thought it was so funny. And then I was all right, so I went back to the box to get it, but it wasn't there anymore. Now I might be wrong, and Jacob can come defend himself. And also, I want to say more than anything, I love Jacob, and I'm not mad at him, but in any way, shape, form, or fashion. and we got it all figured out. Okay, so. So I went to the DMV and he was like, you don't have to take the written test or the driving test if you just bring your expired license. I said, but it's really old. He goes, it doesn't matter. As long as you have the physical license, it will be fine. It is not a big deal. I said, work. I know exactly where it is. So then we drive to Burbank. We drive from, where was the DMV, baby? I think it was in somewhere. It was far out. And then we drove to Burbank, opened up the storage unit, found the box, opened it up, but the driver's license wasn't in there. And then I was like, oh shit, I don't know where it is. Maybe I lost it. And then we drove back, and then Jacob had this, sent me a text or showed me his phone, and he had a picture of the license. Because at some point, Jacob was like just going around, he found the picture, and it is a funny picture. So he took a picture of it, and then he like sent it to Kennedy. I was like, look at this funny picture. But now, and I don't know who did it, but now we don't know where the license is.
Got it. So now you have to do the
written test. And I really needed it in that moment.
And all the things again now.
No, so then I ended up doing this extensive thing where I found the way to get my driving record from, by the way, we can upload the picture, my driver license picture, just the picture part. Actually, I mean, the rest of the information is completely outdated. And then we ended up, so we found out if you get your driving record, you can actually not take the driving test. So now I went to the DMV website and I downloaded my thing, but you have to have it mailed. So now it is being mailed. My driving record is being mailed to me.
Too much.
I was gonna take my driving record to the DMV girl, but it's all to avoid taking the test or doing the written test. So
Bob, can you and I please for Patreon both take a driver's license?
Jacob,
test?
Is this like an accurate description of our events, Jacob?
I think you're alluding to the fact that I moved your driver's
license. Well, I will say that but can we, wait, come close to the microphone. Can we agree though that out of the two of us, you were the last person that we know for sure saw the driver's license? But also, there's a chance that I lost it. I may have lost it. That is a distinct possibility. However, we now don't know where the driver's license is.
Work.
I found your driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and I took a picture of it.
Okay, it wasn't lost. It wasn't like under a shoe.
I have no recollection of your driver's license ever being in that box, because I've been out of the box many times when you were moving. In your old phone case, there was some form of identification. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know where I put that, but I don't know anything about this driver's license, and I don't feel like that was ever my responsibility to keep track of.
So what about the one from the phone that you don't know where it is?
I do not know where that is. Was that a driver's license?
It was a driver's license, yeah.
So it wasn't in the lockbox.
Well, we don't know. Because you're like, was okay. It here?
Also, sidebar, this is Bob claims that he knows where every single thing in his home is. Bob is like, we may be
going. Not every single thing, but I know where most things are.
This and I will say, oftentimes you'd be like, "Where is that thing?" And I'd be like, "Oh, it's upstairs by the window in that box. It's there in that area." And oftentimes you're right, but sometimes you're wrong. Just so we're all clear on the same
page. Sometimes I'm right. Yeah, I'm not 100% right all the time. What's most important is that I'm getting my driver's license. Me and Jacob have a successful relationship where we love each other and treat each other with respect and kindness. Right, Jacob? Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Now he is on some mission over there. Trying to do something. And I think it's very woke of me to acknowledge God. That and be like, you know what? It's cool, Jacob. It's cool. Actually, you know what? Me and Jacob can do a quick group therapy, a quick couples therapy session, and we'll be right back.
Work. Better help.
Can I say this for real? We have all been sold a lie by the weight loss industry that weight equals health. That is not true. The number one scale has become so powerful that it defines how people feel and think about themselves, and I'm not cool with that. But that's not an accurate reflection of your true health, and that's why we love using FitTrack's Dara Smart Scale. Not only doing like more at-home workouts and not dancing in clubs and on stages 6 nights a week in Work the World or in the Sibling Rivalry Tour, it's been really important for me to maintain a nutritional diet and a regular fitness routine. And it was definitely a little rough, but Dara has really helped me take my fitness journey to the next level by making my progress really easy to track. FitTrack's Dara Smart Scale is one of the most accurate home smart scales in the world. It measures 17 different body compositions, which give you a more accurate picture of your health and body. How it works, you step on the scale, and the formula pads will analyze 17 different health measurements, including your body fat percentage, your muscle mass, hydration levels, bone density, and more. You know how people be saying, oh, I'm just big bone and all that stuff? Dara helps you track all of that, y'all. The best part about FitTrack is that you can easily track and trend your health over time and see how your daily choices, ranging from exercise to diet, affect your health in the bigger picture. The Dara Smart Scale syncs with the free FitTrack app, and all of your health insights are saved in one place. I highly recommend this to track y'all fitness, y'all. I've been doing it, and I genuinely really like it. You see, like, all the things, your BMI, all that stuff. It's great. Stop measuring weight and start measuring health with FitTrack. Go to fittrack.com/rivalry to take 50% off your order. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also save an additional 30% with code BUILD30 at checkout. That's fittrack.com/rivalry to save 50%, plus get an additional 30% off your order with code BUILD30 at checkout. Don't miss out on this amazing limited time offer. FitTrack.com/rivalry with code BUILD30 at checkout. Get into it, bitch. This episode is sponsored by Apostrophe, a prescription skincare company for people that are ready to take their acne seriously. Prescription acne treatment really works, but it's hard to get. You have to take time off of work to go see a doctor and sit in line at a pharmacy for your medications. That is annoying. Until Apostrophe. Apostrophe makes it easy to see a board-certified dermatologist online. You'll get treated immediately, and your medications are delivered right to your home. Simply fill out Apostrophe online questionnaire about your skin concerns and medical history. Then just snap a few selfies and your dermatologist will get back to you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. The best part is that Apostrophe offers topical and oral medications so you can treat your acne from the inside out and the outside in. Apostrophe treats acne and they can also help you hit your other skincare goals. Have you ever had dark spots after a breakout? That's called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, or PIH. And Apostrophe has prescription medication that's the most effective and fastest way to get rid of your dark spots immediately. I know for me, I have hyperpigmentation and I have breakouts from time to time. Not as much as I used to, but they still happen. And Apostrophe is really good at getting that shit right at the core, okay? I'm a woman who is known to wear a little bit of makeup, and even though I usually only wear a little lip gloss and maybe a little blush, I like to make sure my skin stays soft, supple, smooth, and fierce. Apostrophe can tailor your plan to fit your specific skincare goals and needs. Get $15 off your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/rivalry. And use our code RIVALRY. This code is only available to our listeners, honey, so get into it. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/rivalry and click begin visit. Then use the code RIVALRY at sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com/rivalry and use that code RIVALRY to get your dermatology visit for $15 off. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring this lovely podcast.
All right, our therapist said that we're good. Our therapist said we're good. You know what?
do you ever see like the battle of the wokes? Like you see like moderate Democrats arguing with progressives.
In the drag race world, the battle of the wokes is between Trinity and Aquaria. Online to see who is more woke.
Who would you say is the most woke white
Aquaria,
ally?
Aquaria, stop talking. Aquaria, stop down. Talking. Aquaria, down. Aquaria, Aquaria, Aquaria. Aquaria is from Wakanda.
She's from Wakanda. And I will say, I know Aquaria very well. Bob knows Aquaria very well. Aquaria is a good friend. And Aquaria is never speaking from a place to like get the fans on her side. She's not trying to like show a thing. Aquaria has like a lot of thoughts going on in her brain constantly. And she like rambles a lot. And she's literally she's speaking her truth like in that moment. And sometimes she'd be saying crazy shit and it might sound too aggressive, but I've never gotten from Aquaria that she's trying to appear woke or virtue signal so people know she's on the right side. She's like, this shit is wrong. And this is why you're wrong, you stupid fucking bitch. And yeah, and I just love that about her.
She's a very aggressive. I have a question. What is something that you think you have to call out in your friends the most? Like, what is one of your woke things that you call out in your friends, being like, whoa, 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 baby, whoa, whoa, whoa.
For this my like,
one. That is a Shangela quote. Whenever I say that's a Shangela quote, whoa, 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 baby, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I think for my friends who aren't like friends from like my, I don't want to say previous life, but like friends from like college and stuff like that from before, like, because as you guys all know, I grew up in a very, very black hood neighborhood and area, and I went to college with some very black folk, and sometimes they say things that are transphobic and queerphobic that they aren't aware of, so that's something I find myself checking quite often with friends who aren't under the LG. Well, honestly, and some of them do kind of identify under the umbrella. Like I have female friends who have had sex with other females and et cetera, et cetera. But I still have to remember, like, hey, she, not he, because they have a female trans friend who has transitioned, but they still refer to them as he sometimes, or they say like that gay nigga or something like that.
Well, like for example, things that I say, Monet, can you sound like your goddamn phone? I mean, this is literally the fourth time. Jesus Louise.
It's the second time. Calm the fuck down.
We gotta hear Kim Possible beeping. For example, something like I will say, in my mind, I feel like me saying trans man or trans woman should be enough to, because you know, if I say trans man, I feel like you know what I'm saying. And they'll be like, wait, so she was a girl. And I'm like, okay. If I say trans, if you know what a trans woman is, then just use that same logic to find out what a trans man is. Use the exact same logic.
But to us, Bob, because we're in the community, but I think for cisgendered straight folk who don't know much about, I think there's so much information coming at us about queer stuff. I do genuinely think that sometimes they do get confused. And because as you, all three of us on this.
But how much of it is not wanting to know? How much of it is not wanting to know? How many times
I can't
tell
that.
You what a trans woman is? Like how many times do I have to say a trans woman is yay. And I say like, I don't quite often use the word female to male because that sounds offensive to me too sometimes. So I might sometimes say F to M or M to F or yada, yada, yada. But like, I feel like the concept of what a, because this is why it bothers me, because this is how the conversation goes. I'm dating a trans man. Wait, so he was a girl? No. He was assigned female at birth.
And they were like, wait, but
so he has a pussy. And that's where the conversation goes.
It's always about genitalia. They want to know what's between someone's legs. So, okay, what's between his legs? Is all they want to know.
And it's a weird obsession. The obsession with trans people's genitals is odd.
It is odd. Because I think that to them, that's the only way, and which is obviously their problem and their issue to fix, but that's the only way to understand. They'd be like, okay, so you have a penis and they have a penis. So that means, you know, I think to them, that's the only way they can comprehend.
But what's hard about the phrase assigned female at birth? What is difficult about this phrase assigned female at birth?
To us, nothing. But to people who
I don't even know what's hard about that phrase.
But to people who don't use that terminology and language on the daily, like I find myself using terminology like that many times a day. But to, you know, Alice McKetchinson, who doesn't have any trans friends, doesn't know that her fucking hairstylist Peter, who's been doing her hair for 42 years, is gay as hell. You know, like they just don't know. I genuinely feel that way.
But even if you don't have trans friends, I think you know it is rude to ask someone about their genitals.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. You don't have to be in the queer community to know that asking if you have a dick is offensive.
Totally.
Or asking about someone's pussy or asking about someone's dick. And even people who are open about that kind of stuff, for example, people like T.S. Madison at one point in her career was very open about having a penis.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly open about it. That still does not make it okay to ask about her penis, whether she has one now or not, I don't even know.
Agreed.
But it does not make it okay to talk about that. And Ezra is also very open about, in his music and in a lot of stuff, he's very open about not having a penis. But people are still like, but I want to ask. And I think people should be allowed to tell you on their terms when they want to.
Yeah, and I agree with that. A thousand percent.
And it's shocking when folks are like, why are you so mad? I'm like, bitch, tell me about your fucking dick. Tell me in great detail, describe your dick. So I do find myself calling out transphobia a lot in my friend group, in the workplace, in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that as we progress and we, I don't think wokeness is dying anytime soon. I think people are going to, it's gonna progress to something else. It's gonna woke the term wokeness is gonna expire, and it's gonna be something else. They're gonna be the next thing that everyone's gonna be like, well, I'm this. So I think that's how human beings are, and it's the next thing is gonna happen. But I don't know what it is, but it's gonna be the next thing, something else.
Where do you land on the? Because there are people who are like far right, who are like anti wokeness, anti. Like their whole thing is they're gonna bring down the snowflakes, you know, yada yada yada, and then they're like Sasha Velour, don't joke about that. Like, where are you in there?
But isn't the term snowflakes for what?
It's for liberals.
Snowflakes
is for liberals.
Conservatives call liberal snowflakes.
Yeah.
Got it. Have you ever heard someone?
We have meltdown. Like, we're melting.
Oh, we're got it. Have you ever? Jacob said no. That's not what that is.
That is what it is. What is it?
It's like I'm an individual, unique snowflake. Like, all snowflakes are unique. Like, I'm just like.
I think there's probably more layers to snowflake than just being individual. I think it's also the melting and the freaking out, like, of the thing as well. Also, snowflakes are very delicate. If you breathe on a snowflake, it just gets destroyed.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably a combination of all those things.
Have you ever heard what sometimes like white content creators or white influencers like call other white people snow roaches? That shit fucking cracks me up. A snow roach.
Well, white people are getting really mad because there's this big surge on TikTok specifically where people are coming up with slurs for white people.
It's too much. It's too much.
Like, people call them like yeast yetis or snow roaches.
Oh my god.
Or they call you at the Capitol building. They call them y'all Qaeda. Yeah. And they get really mad.
Yeah,
I'm like, really mad.
Also, I saw this other TikTok. This black girl, she was like, I don't understand. She's like, what is everyone's obsession with saying the word nigga? Like, why are y'all so obsessed with the word nigga? She's like every race, no matter what you are, everybody wants to say the N word, the N word, the N word. She's like, all of y'all got slurs for your own race. Make your slur popular and reclaim that slur. Why are y'all so obsessed with saying the word nigga? And it was such a good thing. I'm like, for real. Like, take your own slur for your people. And co-opt it and make it good for you. But anyway,
it's true. People are obsessed. Like, the obsession, I think the N-word is the most like coveted, controversial, jaw-dropping. The N-word can stop a room dead in its tracks.
Yes.
Like, for example, if Joe Biden got on TV and said, if Joe Biden would have like said to Donald Trump, shut the fuck up. That would have been kind of shocking, but if he would have said, "When you remember he said, when you shut up, man." If he would say, "When you shut up, nigga," when I say the world would have stopped spinning. When I say on its axis, the mountains would have tumbled into the sea, the clouds would have come crashing to the ground, the stars would have imploded. Fish would grow legs and start walking on land.
But enough about that. Kimchi and heels. On the scale of wokeness, I think I am not as far as Sasha Velour. Don't joke about that, because the comedian side of me, they have things that I like to joke about that other people might find sensitive. And I am aware of that. That's some place that I
like. What?
I
can, like what?
I don't know. Like I mean, the N-word is a big one. You have performed for black people, and they're like, I can't believe that you say that. And I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna say whatever the fuck I want, or like about like sex.
Yeah, we have a close drag race friend. For example, Monique does not like when we say the N-word.
Shangela does not like it either. I told you, me and Shangela had a whole little argument on New Year's Eve about me having it in my song. I was like, bitch. The fuck, I'm changing my mix. It's in there. Nigga, 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 nigga. I literally, and you know me, when someone tells me I can't do it, when I spoke on the microphone, I made sure I said it too. I was like, oh, I see. I just love being in the UK. White people, black people, I mean niggas. And she was like, and I was like, yeah.
But now you sound like the folks who are like, I'm going to say it because people get mad about it. And I want to be clear. I don't say nigga because it makes people mad. I say nigga because I grew up saying it. And it is an integral part of my vernacular. Like, it is just as easy, it comes as easy to me as the word y'all. Just for example, agreed. Just like I say reckon. I don't say reckon because I want to sound like a country bumpkin. I say reckon because I've been saying reckon I've been reckoning as long as I can reckon. You know what I mean?
I don't think so I've ever heard you say the word reckon.
Sound country. I say it because.
Do you?
I've certainly said reckon. I say reckon. Yeah, I say reckon. I say reckon all the time. I say, well, I reckon we can do that.
Got it. Oh, and okay, I want to be clear too.
I reckon we could do that.
I wasn't saying it to get her mad. I was like, but I don't like when people police my language about something I feel they have no business policing it for. So that gets me upset. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You don't get to tell me what I can and cannot say about my own experience. I do believe
in creating situations where people can all here's an example. We talked about this before on the podcast. I don't want to go into it too deep, but I do believe in like a roast where you can go off the rails because everyone in that room is consenting to this particularly offensive thing. I liken it to hitting in the bedroom. Like, for example, in general, you should not hit people in the bedroom without permission. But if one person like hit me, and one person like, I want to hit you, and then you hit them, in my opinion, that is okay.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
someone's like, make these jokes about my weight, and then someone's like, okay, and they do it, and the people in the audience know that's happening, there is a consent from everyone. Yeah. It's consent. There it is. It's all about the consent.
Yeah, so I'm definitely not as far as Sasha Velour, I don't think, but I'm definitely not on the other side of fucking the snowflake thing. So I like to think I'm a little closer. I'm a little closer left. Like if like middle is here, I'm a little on the left of middle, like you know between Sasha and middle.
I would say I'm just left of Jackie Beat. You know what I mean?
Where is that?
I mean, Jackie Beat is left, but she also makes like silly jokes, and you know, they make fun of their friends for different things than they have. I'm left of, I think I'm left of RuPaul, but I think I'm right of Sasha Velour.
Got
I'm
it.
Left of a, I'm left of, I, I'm I think I'm maybe a hair left of Alaska.
So, but you are not, but you're not Willem. Willem is a mess. Willem just be saying the wildest shit.
But Willem always apologizes, but also it's like, how many times are you gonna apologize? Just, like, but I mean, I love that Willem is willing to learn. Like, Willem had a controversy a couple years ago where she said that trans men aren't men, and it was a whole thing. But then she had a talk with Courtney about why it was wrong, and she seemed to have like, she seems willing to grow. And
I didn't realize until working with Courtney. Until working with Courtney, I didn't realize how, I just hate using that word, because it sounds so, how woke Courtney was. Courtney is super informed, and she's super, she's dope. She's great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely informed, smart, a real charmer to work with, Mike. Love her.
Bitch, are you South African? What is that?
Nar, it's Australian, Mike. Trust me. Trust me on this one, Mike. All right, listen, everyone.
Some Australian sound off below, please, because I don't think that's right. But okay.
All right, sound off below in the comments, Mike. Please write your comments below. Tell me if you think I'm sounding Australian or not. I want to know what you think about my Australian accent. Comment below. Tell me what you think. Monet, I absolutely, that was Scottish. I absolutely love you. And
I love you too, Bob.
I'll see you. Stay woke.
Oh, God.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.